chain my heart. Baby, let me be. Cause you don't care. Well, please set me free. Unchain my heart. Baby, let me go. Unchain my heart. Cause you don't love me no more.
Welcome to Fly High Ministries, everybody. Really good to be with you today. I pray that the Lord is blessing you and keeping you, no matter where you're at and no matter what you're doing. Today's message is going to be, God has a divine order. If you mix it up, you're going to have major problems. God has a divine order, and if you mix it up, you're going to have major problems. God not only has a divine order in the family, God has a divine order in the creation. God has a divine order in the church. God has created this divine plan. And it's pretty plain and simple. And if you mix these up, you're going to get some major problems. I want you to remember five things. God, marriage, family, church, and government. God, marriage, family, church, and government. If you want to write that down, feel free to do so. You know, before God ever created the church, He created the family. And before God ever created the family, He created marriage. And before God created anything, He was. You see, Satan wants to reverse the divine order of things. And it is so critical for you to understand God's divine order. And so many people have destroyed their own lives because they didn't understand God's divine order. And I sure hope today that one of you or someone out there is listening to me, because it could very well save your life and save your marriage. You see, we live in a society that doesn't care about divine order anymore. We live in a society that has twisted the order of marriage. So what does this all mean, you may ask me? Well, I'll get to the point of things. Today, many pastors, Many people in the church make a mistake of placing the church before the family. The church should never come before your own family. Many people make that kind of mistake. And I'm also saying that your family should never come before your marriage. And I'm also saying that your marriage simply should not come before God. Many marriages, many wives place their family before their husbands. This is not good, and many marriages have been destroyed by the meddling of the mother-in-law, and this is not good. The same is also true for the husband. Many wives, please understand that your wife married you, not your mother, and tell your mother to kindly mind her own business. And many marriages have been destroyed by people of the church, and it's often the single or divorced woman who's trying to talk to a wife into leaving her husband. You see, there's a divine order of God. And I've seen this in the church, that people are just people, and because the church members, doesn't mean they don't give you bad advice, and there's quite a lot of homes that's wrecked by this world, and there's a lot of families and marriages today that are ruined by people in the church. And this is why God has created a divine order. First, God, marriage, family, church, and the government. But we're talking about a natural divine order. So many marriages are destroyed by the church, and many Christians have been persecuted because the government interfered with the church. Many families have been destroyed by government, and this goes on, and we see the consequences of reversing God's order. And it was never the government's responsibility to educate our children. And it's not their responsibility today. Listen, God has a divine, He has a divine order. And if you take this divine order out, He has a natural order. The sun, the sun comes up at a certain time. The moon rises at night. God creates the order of a family. He creates the man. He creates the woman and the children. There's a divine order of God. And did you know the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26 through 40, that there is also a divine order in worship of the church. God has a divine order, and if you mix it up, you're going to have major problems. God has a divine order, and if you mix it up, you're going to have major problems. Please understand what I'm trying to say today. A lot of you find yourself in a bad situation because you have walked away from God's divine order. You can't call a cat a dog or a dog a cat. You can't call a man a woman or a woman a man. Even though they try to reverse the order of a family today, but God has a divine order. They're trying to reverse what God has naturally have already created in our society. We're going to see that there is an order of worship in the Bible, that there is a divine order. God has the divine order, the seasons of our life that comes in order. The four seasons of our life, there's different seasons and different orders of our life, and you try to take away the divine order of God, His natural order, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. And this is why this nation's in a lot of trouble. And this is why there's more divorces than ever before. Because we have taken God's divine order out. We don't want to play. We don't want to go along with God's divine order. God, marriage, family, church, and government. No, we don't want to do that anymore. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, we're going to be continually speaking, referring to speaking in tongues here, that there is an order of the church. And the Apostle Paul was saying, hey, I would rather have you prophesy than speak in tongues. And if you're going to seek some spiritual gifts, seek the spiritual gifts that will excel and build up the church. But it goes on farther. It says in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 13 and 9, and last week we talked about tongues. But this week we're going to talk about God's order in the church and what does God say? How should we worship God? How should we worship the Lord Jesus? How should the church worship? The Bible says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church will be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two, or at the most three should speak, one at the time, or someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Please understand, if you're in a church and someone stands up and speaking in tongues and there's no interpretation of tongues, then you need to leave that church. That's a satanic church. But the Bible's very clear that there are a number of rules in these two verses which must be observed whenever tongues may be used. Speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift, but it has to be very carefully used. The Bible is very clear that no more than three may speak in tongues at any given occasion. No more than three people should be speaking in tongues at any given occasion in your church. The Bible is also very clear that all tongue speaking must be done in turn. That is by person speaking one at a time. If you got two people standing up in your church speaking in tongues at the same time, leave the church. It's a corrupt, evil church. And on no occasion may tongues be used unless an interpreter is standing by to tell the audience every word that is spoken. If you are in a church and they are speaking in tongues and nobody's standing by to interpret that tongue, you must leave the church. God has a set order, and you're going to see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that there's also an order of worship. There's a divine order and a divine plan. There's an order in the family. He has an engine, and that engine has to run in order. There's a certain order. There's a certain process that things have to work. If that process is out of whack, it ain't going to work. The Bible says that everything must be done unto edifying, and tongues do not edify. The Bible also says love is a better thing to practice than speaking in tongues. It also says that five intelligible words are to be preferred to 10,000 in an uninterpreted tongue. And this is where the Bible, a lot of debate comes. When the Bible is very clear, under no circumstances let the woman do it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, interpreter or no interpreter. Greater is a teacher than a tongue speaker, and uninterpreted tongues will cause outsiders to say you are mad and you are crazy. You need to understand that God has a divine order. God has a divine order. If you mix up this divine order in your life, in your family, in your church, in your government, you are going to have major problems. And this is why America has major problems. And this is why Satan has moved in this nation. This is why Satan has moved in your church. You no longer want to listen to God. You think you're the mother church. And Apostle Paul was talking to this church, says, what do you think, you're the first church? What do you think, you're the only church? No, he's saying church has been around a long time and they've been practicing like the real way and you haven't. He had to address these epistles to the church. But nobody wants to listen to him because they want to do things their own way and not the divine order of God. They want to do things their own way. They want to run the family their own way. They want to run the church their own way and not the divine order of God. I take a lot of criticism in this culture because they think if the culture changes that somehow the divine order of God changes. And it doesn't work that way. If the culture changes, doesn't mean that God changes. Just because your family has changed and doesn't mean God's divine order has changed. Just because society has changed and they decide to run it like this doesn't mean it's right and it has changed the divine order of God. I'm here to tell you, if you change the divine order of God, you're going to run in a lot of trouble. We're going to go on to speak of verse 29 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Two or three prophets should speak, and the other should weigh carefully what he said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregation of the Lord's people. Now you need to understand today in the church, not only tongues must be interpreted, but if you have somebody that wants to prophesy, it must be weighed by someone else who has the gift of prophecy. You see, if only one person in your church is prophesying over you, and that only one person has been doing it, and that's the only prophet in your church, then you need to set that prophet down, because unless it's weighed by two or three other prophets in your church, it is null and void. The Bible says, for you can all prophesy in turn. but it must be weighed by other prophecies and are subject to control of the prophets, for God is not a God of disorder. God has a divine order in the church. He has a divine order in the family. God has a divine order in your marriage, and He also has divine order in your government. But this is where the debate begins. When the Bible says women should remain silent in the churches, they are not allowed to speak but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is a disgrace for a woman to speak in the church. Now, I take a lot of flack for my position on this, where I do believe that men, that there's an order in the church. And what does the Bible say? That the man is the head of the woman. Now, this is a divine order of God that has been manipulated, and it has not been able to be accepted in the church. This is not Dean speaking. This is in the Bible. And a lot of people try to interpret this was just talking about tongues. That somehow that this only referred that women should not speak in tongues in the church. And this is not true. This is not what it's just referring to. It was referring to the divine order of the family, with the divine order of the church. And unfortunately, headship is related to God's divine created order, whether you want to accept it or not. Headship is related to God's divine order. The headship of the home, the headship of the church. Whether you want to accept that or not, feminist, whether you want to accept that or not, woman preacher, whether you want to accept that or not, Jezebel, because that's all you got on the pulpit now is Jezebels. A power and control. What you don't have is a church running with a divine order anymore. Or there's a headship. But you need to understand what 1 Corinthians says in chapter 11, verse 3. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and that man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of the church. God's divine order here. I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. So who's the head of the man? Christ. And that man is the head of the woman, and who is head of the woman? The man. And God is the head of Christ. And who's the head of Christ? God. This is a divine order. This is the order of a headship. This is God's created divine order. Whether you want to accept that or not, this is the Bible. I know the United States of America doesn't accept it anymore. You know, in the Jewish and Christian culture, when the Bible was written, there was a concept called federal headship. This means that the male is the one who represents his descendants. And proof of this can be found in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8 and 10, if you want to take a look at it. And in this case, mortal men receive tithes, but in that case, one receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lived on, and so to speak through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Notice that it says that Levi paid tithes while still in the loins of the father Abraham. How did he do this? By proxy, since Abraham, his distant father, represented him. You see, there's a federal headship, there's a headship, and there's a divine order in this world. Plants, the process of photosynthesis, they work a certain way. They change colors. They give off oxygen while breathing in carbon dioxide. There's a divine order, and creation itself has a divine order and a way of recycling. It's a way of recycling. God has a way when man destroys nature of recycling and have it grow again. There's an order. God has a way of replenishing, restoring. He has a way. He has this engine. He has the way to keep moving and moving and moving. And there's a divine order. Whether you believe it or not, there's a headship. Likewise, we see the concept of federal headship in the fall. It was Eve who first sinned, but sin entered the world through Adam, not through Eve. God said, I know Eve first sinned. I know she won that, but Adam is the one responsible. I hold him responsible like every man, like God holds the man responsible for his family. Isn't it funny? In Romans 5:12 it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. This is because Adam represented humanity and creation. And when Adam fell, we fell. This is why it says, in Adam all die, in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 22, and also in Romans 5, verse 15 says, for if by the transgressions of one, Adam, and many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound the many. Alright then, so this brings us to the woman. Again, notice that it says in Genesis 2, verse 24, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and he shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And when a man and a woman gets married, they shall become one flesh. There is a unity between them. But it is the man who is the head of the family, which is why it says that the man is the head of the woman. In 1 Corinthians 11:3. Some might think that this was a cultural notion that snuck into the Bible. It wasn't just a cultural thing. It was a divine order of God. But Paul makes it clear that the headship is related to the created order. God has a divine created order. You either accept it in your marriage, you either accept it in your church, or you are going to run in a lot of trouble. All you got to do is look at how many marriages, how many divorces are out there. All you got to do is look how many family is separated. Because we have walked away from the divine order of God. We have walked away from the divine order of God. This is not a cultural thing. This is a divine created order. God has a divine created order in the family. For the Bible is very clear that man does not originate from woman, but women from men. For indeed man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman was for the man's sake. Therefore the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 and 10 talks about the divine order. It was because Eve listened to the devil that the issue of order and hierarchy in a marriage relationship has had to be raised and explained. The Bible is very clear that it says, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. In Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 16. This headship is not about having the upper hand, nor is it meant that a woman has no rights or is a second-class citizen. This is not the headship that we are talking. On the contrary, God tells the husband some very serious commands. What were some of these commands of this divine order of God? Husbands, you should love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might preserve to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, simply, men, you should be the spiritual leaders to your wives. Men, you should take the role of a spiritual leader for your wives. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians. He was saying, there is a headship, woman, a divine order. Please be quiet in the church and let your husband speak. Honor your husbands. Lift them up. Husbands, please be quiet and listen to Jesus, the head of the church, not the pastor. Jesus is the head of the church, not your pastor. Jesus is the head of the church. If your husband's listening to Jesus, does that mean he has to listen to everything the pastor says? Absolutely not. Because if you go back to the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, but I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. Christ is your head. Jesus Christ is your head. He's the one that every man should desire to seek. And a man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. And yes, that is this headship. This was the divine order that had to be in the church. You see, the divine order of God is God's divine order, whether you want to accept it or not. And the problem is today, we have manipulated this divine order in the church. The headship, this federal headship is now, has been dismantled. We're no longer, we are running an orderly worship, but now we have Jezebel, or we have Satan on the pulpits. Literally destroying marriage. And the Bible is very clear. The Bible is very clear that God cares about the order of the family. He cares about the order of marriage. And He cares about the order of the church. The Bible wants to strengthen marriages, families, and churches. But we cannot do that if the church is not want to accept the divine order and divine plan of God. Please write this down. Number one, God. Number two, marriage. Number two, family. Or number three, family. Number four, church. And number five, government. Take away this order and you're going to have a lot of trouble. Take away this order. If you put the government before the church, you're going to have a bad order. If you put the church before the family, it's not going to go good for you. If you put your marriage before the family, it's not going to go good for you. And if you put God, if you put your marriage before God, it's not going to go good for you. There's a divine order that God has created, and this is exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying here. He was saying there has to be an orderly worship, and this was not just for women to be quiet concerning tongues. This was, I want women to respect their husbands and keep the divine order of God. So the Apostle Paul makes even a greater statement, which really, he's really angry with the church. Because this is what basically what he said. He said in verse 36 of chapter 14, and 1 Corinthians says, or did the word of God originate with you, or are you the only people it has reached? Basically, he's saying, are you the only church? Are you the only individual that's doing God's work? And a lot of people think they're the only ones being saved and everyone else is going to hell. A lot of churches think God's only blessing them and everyone else is going to hell. And somehow they believe that they're big mega churches. They believe that somehow this big mega churches, and God is very clear in 1 Timothy chapter 6, is some of you, Some of you say a means that somehow financial gain is a form of godliness, that somehow your money or somehow your prosperity had anything to do with godliness. But the Bible is very clear with the scripture under that says contentment is great gain. It's not your money that's great gain. It's not your house that is great gain. It's not your church's great gain. What's great gain unto the Lord is contentment of what you have. It's contentment of where you're at. It's contentment of with your wife. It's contentment of with your children. Being content in every situation is the greatest gain. Not always wanting more and more and more and more. And I believe that's the problem of America. We're a lot like Judas, and we have sold this country out for silver and gold. And why? Because we are no longer content. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm getting off the message here. But I'm here to tell you that there's an order of God. There's a divine order of God. In verse 36, what came the word of God out from you? This is the meaning. Is the church at Corinth the mother church? Was this the first church that ever was to be established, the church of Corinthians? Was it the first established church, or has it been alone in sending forth the word of God? Or have you adopted customs which are unusual? You have permitted women to speak in a manner unknown to the other churches? Are you the mother church? You have admitted irregularities and confusions unknown in all the others. You have allowed many to speak at the same time, and you have tolerated confusion and disorder. Have you any right thus to differ from others? Have you any authority, as it were, to dictate to them, to teach them, contrary to this uniform custom of the Christian faith, to allow these disorders? Should you not rather be conformed to them and observe the rules of the church which are older than yours? The argument here is this, that the church at Corinth was not the first and that was established. That it was not the one of the last that has been founded, and that it could therefore claim no right to differ from others or to prescribe to them the same argument that's employed in 1 Corinthians 11:16. This is what the Apostle Paul is basically saying here. Are you the mother church? Are you the first church that's ever been built? Are you the first church? And here you are thinking just because the culture is changing that somehow the church has to change. The Apostle Paul was hot. He was very upset at Corinth. And he was like saying, hey, shut your mouth. Get back to the divine order of God. And he also goes on as if you are not the first ones out there to believe in the message of Jesus. Neither are you the only ones out there. God has sent the same gospel to others, and it is traveling over the world. Others, therefore, have the same right as you to originate customs and peculiar habits. And as this would be attended with the confusion of this disorder, you should all follow the same rule and the customs which do not prevail in other churches should not be allowed in yours. God has a divine order. God has a divine order. And if you change the divine order of God, if you change this divine order of God, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. If anyone thinks that they are a prophet or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge that what I am saying to you is the Lord's command. But if anyone ignores this, they will themselves be ignored. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and not to forbid speaking in tongues. God has a divine order. We change this divine order, we're in trouble. If we mix it up in any way, we're going to have some major problems. Keep the divine order of God, marriage, family, church, and government. keep the divine order in the family. And 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 3 says, but I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and that the man is the head of every woman, and that God is the head of Christ. Keep the order in the church, and be blessed by the Lord. You can't say a dog is a cat and a cat and a dog. You can't say a flower is a tree and a tree is a flower. God has a great divine order. And He also has it in marriage. He made a man, a woman, and children, children. Created women to nurture. Men can't nurture. Men can't breastfeed. Men can't have children. There's a divine order of God. Mix this divine order up, you're going to have problems. This is why Satan is moving in this culture, and this is why it's so evil today. We need Jesus back in America. We need Jesus back in America, and we need Him now. We need Jesus back in this nation, and we need Him now.
Unchain my heart, baby, let me be. Cause you don't care. Well, please set me free. Unchain my heart.